4DJ, say monitoring.
DC in 0TR. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Tom, how are you and Miss Bernice doing?
Cozy, but c'est la vie. Oh, it's good to hear you, Jerry. I know I can play the Geritol net here. I'm telling you. Oh, I was just over here sorting some pills and having a cup of coffee and a piece of homemade custard pie. How's your day?
Pretty good so far. And it sure is heating up today. I went out about lunchtime to pick up something for our lunch. And it was 90 degrees already. That was at 11 o'clock, I think.
Over to Costco's at Spartanburg, mainly to get some grapefruit and a couple of things. And the daughter wanted a couple of things I didn't have. Well, we've been home about an hour, I guess. And my weather station here, of course, it's right out in the sun, in the direct sunlight, the transducer. And it says 97 with 2 to 7 out of the northeast and 44% humidity. So it feels like 104 Fahrenheit degrees, shall we say. Fill in that Fahrenheit degrees.
It's toasty. I watered my grass last night. I've been watering about every 3 or 4 days now. My little patch of sod I got out here to keep it from drying up completely. But it's, as soon as the weather starts cooling off a little bit, I'm going to stretch it out to maybe once a week. But it's still dry in the middle. It's not doing very well in the middle. But it's still green, but it's not doing as well. It's going to take it. Hopefully it'll be okay by next year. But the edges did real good. I've got about 15-foot section, a square foot section in the middle there. I think what happened, we had a kind of a gully washer the evening after they laid it down. I think it washed most of the sandy topsoil out from under it, and it's kind of like granite there now. I'm going to get a guy to do a core aeration for me later on this fall. That ought to help with some anyway. But we haven't been getting out much at all. We headed over your way this afternoon for take the grandson to soccer practice, and that's all we're going to do. We're not going over there tomorrow because of all the traffic, I guess. It's going to be really busy. I forgot about it being Labor Day weekend time. It's terrible, isn't it?
Thursday over there at Costco's and Sam's is a bloody zoo. It's the new Friday and the new Woodruff over there. You can't imagine how fast Spartanburg's growing. It's nuts. And I think I've seen every nationality in the world while we were there shopping.
Way here too, mostly in Walmart, not so much at Sam's, but Walmart's full of all kinds of folks. We try to go either, later on in the evening or early around 10 o'clock or so if we go. But the traffic's always terrible over there. Sam's is packed, packed too. But we did all our shopping, finished up our shopping for the week yesterday. And that's going to do us hopefully through the weekend. I don't think we'll need anything else. But anyway, it don't get no better time. It gets worse and worse, it looks like.
Well, it's just that the infrastructure can't stay up with the dang stuff here, and they just keep pouring in, because they're young and they want good jobs, and I don't blame them. But it's just, it gets to a point where it's saturated. I read a thing about a year ago about Hawaii, and they said they did not have enough infrastructure, even to support the visitors anymore. In other words, the sewage and the roads and the amount of everything's imported there, and it was just getting to be to the pitiful stage. So I have no desire to go to Hawaii anymore, I can tell you that. And I don't know where on this bloody earth I'd want to go, other than maybe Australia. Looks pretty nice. Right off hand, I can't think of anywhere else. But that ain't going to happen because we're not able to travel that far. I'd like to be able to fly directly back to Kansas City or something and go down and visit my friends down in southeast Kansas. Bernice is needing a new hip, and she's pretty crippled up with that. My back is pretty bad, Jerry. But we're still making it. I just went out and got the eggs from the chickens, and we got 10 eggs today. And I think Patrick's going to come by and pick up a couple tonight. I haven't heard him today. Met a nice new friend here walking down the road. He's a retired highway patrolman, and he surprised me. He come by today and brought me a card with his name and address and phone number on it, even his wife's phone number. Really good people. So I'm looking forward to showing him my ham radio station, which there hasn't been much on it lately. And CY9C's been on, but it's a zoo. You never heard such a cluster, you know what, in your life on CW. I won't even go into it. I don't need it anyways. I've worked it on all bands but 10 and 12, and I was just going to open up the computer and see if they might be there now. It's up there around Newfoundland. I can't remember the island it's on, but one of those up there by...
Yeah, I'm still debating whether or not to get an HF rig or not. My neighbor here, who was a ham, he moved last week. So he took his antennas down, so I don't have to worry about somebody right next door to me transmitting. He was running 800-watt amp, too, so I think I'd do very well with him that close to me. But he's moved now. We had a young couple move in Saturday, and they moved from Detroit. He's a parcel board warner, she's a RN. But they're both originally from Indiana, just a really nice couple. Really seem like they're going to be great neighbors. But Yazoo announced a new QRP rig, but it was interesting anyway, it was 10 watts. But it's kind of like that 991, but it's going to have dual receive and may even be full duplex for satellites, APRS, and a bunch of other stuff. And it's coming out it's coming out first quarter of 25. If nothing else, I've been working on it. If nothing else, I just like to listen to them, and I may get that to stick upstairs here if it's not too expensive, since it's already got all the stuff I need on it anyway. But it looks like about the size of maybe the old 897, but I think it's actually about the size of the HiCom 705, real thin. You know, got a battery pack with about 5.6 amp battery pack. It attaches to the back. It's got a tenor fan you can attach to it. It's just kind of a modular type thing. You know, it looked real interesting though. I really like the display on it. It's got it's SDR. We'll see what the filtration looks like on it after some people get them in the hands before I make a decision on it.
Jerry, what model was that? I think they posted that on the Rear Radio Club the other day, and I just glanced at it. I believe it's an Icom, of course. What model was it?
The Icom you're thinking about, the new one is a 7760, and it's got a separate head on it. This usually is like a QRP rig, but the Icom is a 7760. It's got like a separate head, and it's got a box with all the RF deck and all that in it. But it's 200 watts out, but that radio is 6,000, overlooking me a little bit over $6,000. So that's out of my price range. But I was looking at the little Yeezy, which is the model number of the Yeezy is FTX-1F. And it's a real small little deal. It's pretty cool. It looks like it's going to be a good rig. It'll be a very, very stiff competitor for the 705 ICOM. He has a little battery operated QRP rigs that they make. But the Yeezy is the one I was interested in. But the ICOM looks like it's going to be a good radio. But I ain't putting in. If I was going to spend that kind of money, I'd be looking at a Kenwood.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wyatt. There's our electronic genius. and Jerry, I just looked that up. That station that's on right now, the D Expedition, the only one I know of is St. Paul Island. It's up off of Newfoundland, and usually I could work it standing on my head, but everybody seems to think that it's Glorioso Island or something. I don't know, but God, there's a lot of people there. Hi, Wyatt. How you doing today? And then you pass it over to into DJC Jerry.
Hey. Oh my gosh, commentary. That's so funny. Hey, Jason. Who? Sorry. Pearson YQK was talking about that same radio that Jerry was mentioning. And you know, he's a big flex guy. But he was looking for a QRP rig, and you know, for QRP rigs, Kenwood doesn't have anything. You know, they don't even have the D710s anymore for VHF UHF. Go ahead, Jerry.
I just N4DJC. Yeah, the Kenwood just came out with a new. They're gonna have a new mobile tri-bander VHF UHF, like the mobile rig, kind of like the D75. It'll be out probably next summer. It's going to be, you know, just FM, but it's going to have 2 meters, 220, 440 on it. It'll have APRS and going to have some other stuff along with it, too. But it's got that separate head like the 710 does. But the, yeah, the one I was talking about with Tom, it's just an Yeezy's. They just announced it last week before it showed it. They already had samples out there at the Tokyo Ham Fair for people to see. It's a pretty cool looking rig. It looks like it's about 8 inches wide, maybe, and about maybe an inch and a half or 2 inches deep, about 3.5 inches high. It's a pretty small rig, but it's 6 watts on battery, and it's 10 watts on external, you know, 13.8 supply, I guess. But it actually did have two bands on it at the same time. And some people said it was going to be full duplex on a VHF, UHF thing, the satellite use, which would be great if it is, you know, if it is that, that'd be a good deal for linear satellites or FM. But that's the one I was kind of looking at. It's probably going to be in the $1,100 range. But I can't doesn't have anything, you know, except that new Tri-Band Mobile is supposed to be out. And, but I think in 2025, you'll see a new Kenwood, Kenwood HF rig probably in 2026. Now, whether it's going to be a flagship type rig or something replaced like the 590 or who knows what it's going to be yet. But I do know the product manager for Kenwood U.S. Group, I've known him for about 25 years. That's kind of what he explained his progression was going to be, but the Kenwood looks pretty good. Gosh, I bet that thing will be the tribe as the VHF, UHF. I bet it's going to be $1,100, though.
Sir. Well, guys, I looked at that $890, but it's $4,000. And to be honest with you, and I'm a fan of Kenwood, always have been for many years. But the only ones that I see that are making progress in amateur radio is Yaesu and then the ICOMs, and they're into the SDR a lot. And from what I read, that's a favorable thing. But the 890, with respect to my 590SG, the only thing I see is that the receive is still, I think, 0.3 microvolts. I haven't looked at it in a while. So really, you're not getting a... It's a little different receive than the 590, but it's also $4,000. Over, it's $4,600, and then they've had a $600 off. And also Elecraft, I should mention them. They're a great radio, but they're expensive. And I just can't see putting that much money into a radio that they haven't improved upon in 8 years. Now, hopefully you're right, and they come out with a new one, Jerry. But if they don't get it out before long, we'll all be croaked. And so I'm not too happy with them about that. But they are made in Japan and still making them now. I'd like to get my hands on one. But the only thing I see is you got all these different audio changes you can make and things like that, and a band scope, and you can remote a band scope. Not like that, because I can't get this dongle going to run my band scope on HF, or I'd had that station already worked on CW. But I don't want to change to a different brand because I got to learn all their different menu options. And I'm getting too old for that, Wyatt. KJ4CTD.
About the different brands, all my HF rigs are Kenwood except for the very first one I bought, which was an ICOM. And generally, I do not actually like ICOM in the ham radio world. They make great aviation radios. But in the ham world, I don't know. There's something about it. I've always had problems with them here or there. And I'll have to check out that Kenwood new tri-bander. My D7s are still going along, kicking pretty well. But, you know, always good to know there's something new up there and different. But that the 8 does look entertaining for QRP. And, you know, I have a Flex 1500, but it only puts out 5 watts. And I can talk the world on 5 watts. It's just, you know, it'd be nice to have an extra 5 watts to get up to 10. KJ4, CTD Mobile on the freshly paved interstate, oddly enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Yaesu, it looks like, you take a look at it, it's a pretty good-looking rig. If it's not, I figure it probably initially started around the same price range as the 705 would, maybe 1250 or whatever. But one advantage of it, too, is it, or disadvantage, is the 705 uses existing ICOM handheld batteries, and the Yaesu uses a specific battery. But it's 5.6 amps, so it's, you know, it'll run that rig for 9 or 10 hours probably. So it only runs it at 6 watts off battery, 10 watts off power supply, which is, you know, when I run outside, that's why today I run it off of one of those LiPo batteries when I run mine for satellites when I do it. So that Flex 1500 was a good radio. I mean, it was, you know, when they discontinued that, and that kind of broke my heart because it was a good radio, even though it was fairly low power. I think this new DJZ is going to be a, if it's full duplex and it does it on linear satellites, it's going to be kind of a game changer. But it looked kind of like the screen looks kind of like the 710. Yeah, that last one they introduced, but you can actually run concurrently and run dual receive on VHF and HF, you know, which means you could be monitoring a repeater or a simplex frequency. For instance, if you were one of these guys, a Soto Poto guys, where they're spotting you somewhere that can run simplex, duplex, I mean, simplex FM 2 meter on one and run the HF on the other one. It does have C4 FM. It is supposed to have APRS too, which is interesting. That'll be a pretty cool deal too. But anyway, I'm gonna let you get back to it. I gotta head back down the street. We're gonna head out here in a little bit. I need to get all my stuff together, make sure I got everything turned off here so I don't leave a light on. You know how the deep power bill is these days. Seriously, both you guys, and Tom, you pass it on to you, N4DJC, N0TR.
Okay, Jerry, great to hear you today. And you're always knowledgeable on these things. Thanks for the info. Be safe out there. Say hi to the wife. And Wyatt, you didn't say where you was hitting at, I don't think. This is N0TR.
Well, you're just nosy, aren't you? You're right, I didn't say. No, I got to run over to Anderson for a little bit. And by the way, how's my signal sound today? I partially accidentally disassembled my 2-meter antenna and slapped it back, and I don't know how it's doing.
Well, fantastic, Wyatt. It's an improvement, I think. Depending on your location, but you got some popping and crackling in there, which is no fault of your rig.
Basically exit, and it has been snap crackling and popping most of the way. So, okay, well, maybe there was a little bit of water trapped in the connector or something, who knows.
I think you're doing excellent if you're down in that area, good Lord. Not a problem, but, yeah, whenever you can't get an improvement in an HF rig when you go up in models, well, I think there's something wrong as far as the receive goes. But as far as features go, that 890 Kenwood is exemplary. But it came out around 8 years ago, Wyatt.
TS2000. Which I bought back when the club bought their rigs, and it needs work because when you go to tune, it gets stuck in tune mode. I haven't really messed with it a lot since, because I picked up the Flex 1500 for Dirt Jeep, and I've been playing with that one, and 5 watts can only do so much, and you definitely can't work pileups real well unless somebody's actually looking for QRP.
I think they're pretty courteous about getting the QRP rigs in there, but they got to hear them, and there's just not much courtesy in the ham radio world as there used to be.
In digital modes on QRP, just simply because I think it's cheating to try to CW through the computer, because that kind of defeats the whole purpose of that. But my CW is not good enough to actually carry on a conversation. So, kind of, dang if you do, dang if you don't.
I saw an ad the other day on a website. There's some guy I brought up that I'd worked, and it showed this little young ham running up to his mom and dad, saying, "Mom and Dad, I just worked a station halfway across the world on FT8, and I never even spoke to him."
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't really consider FT8 making contacts per se, because it is fairly automated. You know, it's 90% of the exchange is automated, and you can't talk on it at all. I mean, you know, at least with PSK, you could make a contact and you could talk to them. And just about everybody knows how to write English and read English, but, you know, some of these people, you just can't. I can't talk to them when they're talking, you know, Liverpool English. KT4CTD mobile.
But sometimes on TV, they're rather hard to understand. But I imagine they think the same of us. But, yeah, I just can't understand the popularity of that FT8 other than it's easy. And the computer does all the work. But, you know, there's been over 300 sunspots at times here lately. And from my perspective as an old-timer and other things, it hasn't been as good as it was in the old days. In some of the cycles that I've been through, guys, you could make regular contacts once a week with somebody in Australia if you wanted, when I lived in Kansas and or in Europe. And I just don't see that happening now. It seems like the CMEs have been overriding the sunspots.
I've been on HF in the last month and a half because I've been working like a dog and just haven't had a chance. But I you know, oddly enough, I like to work, you know, higher bands when you're not, when it's really hard to do so, you know, about 20 meters, just because I like the challenge of doing that.
They have been coming in at night a little bit, not terrific, but the atmospheric noise has really been terrific, even when they are coming in to where you can talk to around the world. But, I don't know. The problem with the automated CW is that the people that can really work CW, we can't get in because the people are sitting there and just punching their button with their automatic call sign senders, and then once they make the contact, they push it again. It says, you know, to you, you're 599. Bye. And they'll just sit there and punch it over and over and over and over. It don't even give the guy a chance to respond. And that's my gripe about that. But I know Rusty, same way, he can send his call sign by hand very good. But he can't at all, you know, carry on a conversation or anything like that. So he uses the computer keyboard. Now, I've talked to guys years ago on computer keyboards when I couldn't even tell they were on a computer keyboard unless they told me or I realized that they hadn't missed a beat, you know.
Some of those programs will actually let you vary the word speed, and it makes it even harder to determine whether or not they're using a keyboard or actually a key.
But,
you know,
the
mileage will vary up
there. Years ago in Kansas, I talked to a guy, and he was really nice. And I was better at conversational CW then, probably, because I did quite a bit. But I talked to him, and he finally told me he was on a keyboard, and I didn't know it. And we was probably running back in the general class, 13 words a minute or something. And he told me that, and I said, it's been perfect, no problem, and I don't have a problem with it. But the reason he did was he was a radio telegrapher, Wyatt, which has been a long time ago. And he was telling me about using the American code instead of the international Morse code. And the only reason that he didn't run it by hand anymore was that his hands were so crippled up that he couldn't run CW on a key. Now, if that ain't justifiable, I don't know what is. And another one I worked about a month ago, who's quite common on 20 meters, he's the same way, and he's totally blind. And he doesn't QSL cards because he can't see in that. And that was one of the longest. It was about 15 minutes long, and by then, I'm getting wore out. My old brain won't take much more than that on CW. But what a fine CW operator. And he wasn't using a keyboard or anything either. This is NZERO TR.
I'm getting a lot of interference.
Why? quiet. No joy, no joy on the last transmission. I'll catch you down the line, but nice to hear you. And looking forward to it. The pleasure's all mine. 73 is KJ4CTD and 0TR.
Bernice and 4ZLK.
No, it's Bernice, to answer your question, it's not till tomorrow on this weekend. She was asking me about the Shelby Ham Fest. I'd like to know who the vendors are going to be. If there was a Kenwood vendor, I might consider it. But I doubt that, seriously. How's your day going, Shane?
Good. I went and got my truck out of the shop. It's all been repaired, my personal truck. And then I stopped by my oldest son's house and played with the three granddaughters for a little while. And now I'm headed back. Beth's already almost home. Go spend a quiet evening there. I might go over and help Connor install a 2-meter 440 antenna up on the pitch of his roof this afternoon or this evening.
I'm showing 99 here at 43% humidity, and it feels like 104 out in the sun. It's going to be a lot nicer week next week. It's going to be back to fall-like conditions. If you could hold off on that, I think that'd be your tip of the day.
Went around and delivering boxes out of a trailer when I'm working, so it's just as hot. It might be cooler outside. I'm going to pull the old man card and let him do all the heavy lifting.
Blame you. Shane. Oh, shoot, I had something I was going to say there, and you made me laugh. But, yeah, I guess you wouldn't be used to it. I'm not in that position anymore. I'm sitting here drinking some Gatorade. I haven't drank that in years. And the kids said it'd be good for me. I got to go see the urologist tomorrow and see the results of this ultrasound. And, I got to call down to Publix and order some wings. And Bernice is making some macaroni salad over here. And go out and get the mail before it melts down. Bernice?
Hi, Shane.
That macaroni salad sounds good and refreshing on a day like today. Yeah, it's pretty warm out, and I did notice the temperature is supposed to drop down a little bit next week. They originally were calling for rain, I think today, tomorrow, and Saturday, but I guess it moved on out.
I looked, it was 30%, and that was on TV. I haven't looked at my phone. I like that WYFF4 app, but it's still an educated guess around here. They say this is one of the hardest places in the United States to make an accurate weather forecast. And by golly, we got some good forecasters on our TV around here, Shane. Well, we went to Spartanburg this morning and went to Costco. And just now, I suppose you heard Jerry and Wyatt and me talking there for a little bit. The computer's been, the repeater's been really quiet today. I'd just been sitting there having a piece of homemade custard pie and a cup of coffee. Eat your heart out.
Come to expect that if you're at the house, you're probably eating something delicious like that. And I did catch Jerry, he was signing off. I haven't heard him in a long time. If he's still listening, hello, Jerry. I know he said he had to do some stuff, but I rarely hear him anymore, and probably because I was on it, asleep during the day. That's probably the majority of it.
Correct. Jerry hasn't been on, but I'll send you a text and tell you one other one that hasn't been, but that doesn't like to be known when he's not around, put it that way. But it is hot. I did go out and pick up 10 eggs today. I haven't heard Patrick, and he's supposed to drop by tonight, but he's got to make the try-on repeater, so he's not going to be able to stay too long, which is fine. We always enjoy having a nice visit with him because he don't work Friday, and so that's just the last day before he goes back. And that man works just as hard as you do, I'll tell you.
Probably say he works harder. I might not have said that back when I was in package, but he's a good guy. I had lunch with him this week. That was always nice to see him. And now that I'm back on days, at least for a little while, we're kind of in the same area on a couple days, so we should be able to meet up for lunch more regular.
Yeah, I wish Jerry was up here closer to us, too. We'd love to go have lunch with him. I might call him. He might know who's going to be at this ham fest up there. I know he's going to Shelby, and I probably won't or can't because I don't like leaving Bernice here. But I know what she'd say. Oh, go ahead and go. But but you know how that is. She's hard headed. She's nothing like me.
I don't know about that. I think there's a little stubbornness in both of you.
Not German. I'm just a Pennsylvania Dutch, and the rest of me's Heinz 57, so I'm not quite as hard-headed. Well, you'd be Austrian, wouldn't you, Mom? She don't know. We don't get into that genealogy stuff. I always want to, and I don't know why, no disrespect, I always want to say gynecology because it sounds like gynecology, but I don't believe it's the same thing.
Her grandparents came over from Germany. I think her mom spoke German as a child, and Beth is a redhead too, so I got it coming and going, a redhead and a German.
Shoot. Well, that's great. And keeps us guys in line anyways. Now, I can't find anything on this Shelby Ham Fest website as to who the actual vendors will be. I went to it many years ago with Ariel. And, boy, they in that inside building, it was air-conditioned. And they had handicapped parking, and I really enjoyed it. And I even walked around some outside. I was more able back then. But that is a monster of a ham fest up there.
Good things about the Shelby Ham Fest. I've never been able to go yet. I will one day. I remember years ago, I sold tickets and kind of helped out a little bit at the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Ham Fest, but they would always hold it on Mother's Day weekend, which that was before I had kids. And so after kids started being born, it was a little difficult to get away on Mother's Day weekend, but they had a pretty good crowd. We held it up in Spartanburg at the time, I believe, Spartanburg Fairground. And it was a pretty big deal back then.
Yeah, several times. And it was a good one. And you got to meet guys that you talked to around here, too. KI4LZI, Andy. And I could hear him clear across the room, and I migrated right over to him and really enjoyed it. And I never got to visit with him before.
If I was in a grocery store or anything, or a couple aisles over from someone, one of you guys, and I heard you talking, I'd know exactly who you were. You just get so used to the voice.
Or lack thereof, in my case. Yeah, that's true. Oh, shoot, Shane. There's been a ham fest, the expedition going, but I'm hesitant to even tell you about it because it ain't that far off. It'd be easy to work. It's just up there around Newfoundland. And good Lord, you talk about a mess on CW. I couldn't even get into it with 1,200 watts last night, and I don't need it, so I really shouldn't even be trying to work it. I could use it on 10 and 12, but I haven't heard it there. A CY9C's been on. You probably seen it, haven't you? This N0TR.
I've seen it. I haven't been on the radio in a few days. I did turn it on this morning and worked just a quick POTA contact or two, and then I looked on the POTA website, and I was telling you about him the other day, WX0X. He's that FedEx pilot, lives out in Kansas. He was doing POTA, but I couldn't hear him. I was hoping I'd be able to hear him and talk to him again. I had a nice conversation with him just one night, just randomly.
Tell me about that. Well, I brought this website up while we're talking here, and it's St. Paul Island, Charlie Yankee 9 Charlie, which is easy to see because it's posted all over the place. But I'm looking at it, and it looks like a small island, lots of rocks coming up out of the ground. There is one probably uninhabited home there, and parts of another one. But there's a lighthouse, and there is a house beside it that looks habitable. But it looks as though the DX team has got about 5 or 6 tents set up out there, those good orange ones, you know. And I'm sure that's probably where they're operating from. It's sort of beautiful in its own respect with that lighthouse there, because the lighthouse looks to be in good shape. But as to whether it's operating or not, I haven't read any bio on it or, yet. But Gus is up there, H4GH. He's up in that area now. He's not out at St. Paul Island. But he said he wasn't going to go on over to Newfoundland. Always enjoy talking to him. He's really a good guy.
For that, the expedition. And yeah, you're right about Gus. He's a nice guy. And he was in Alaska last year and took a boat tour out of Valdez, a boat that my daughter and my daughter-in-law worked on for a couple of summers, and his wife. It's a really neat operation there. So that was kind of fun to talk to someone who was out there experiencing, talking to him on Echolink, and he had just gotten off the boat that day. So that was really cool.
That's nice. What says the activation's planned for August 26th to September 5th. And it's very popular, I can tell you that. I was talking to an old boy years ago, and he was in the area of the Yukon, someplace up there. And we've been talking quite a while on 17 meters, I think it was. I'd have to look, because it's been years ago. And he says, "Tom, I'm enjoying this so much. You hang on a little bit, and I'll be back with you in about, I forget, it wasn't very long, 10 minutes, something like that. And you just stand by till I get by, back to you." And I did, and come to find out, he was pulling onto a ferry with his automobile, and you cannot transmit on your radio on HF while you're on the ferry. And the second he got off the ferry, the conversation started again. And that was back in the good old days when the conditions were really great.
And they were operating CW, I'm assuming?
No, we were talking voice. And it was just a really great conversation about the area and the wildlife and all of that.
I know my father-in-law used to, he couldn't get out a lot, and he had a bad heart, and he enjoyed traveling the world by ham radio. He had a lot of good stories, and that was from, you know, 70s and 80s. I think that's when he was operating most. But Tom, I'm in the driveway. If you'll just hang on a minute, I'll be back in the car in the morning. I'm just kidding. I'll talk. We'll talk to you again. But enjoy the QSO as always. N0TR and 4ZLK.
Okay, Shane. You be careful out in that heat. And it says here the St. Paul Island De-Expedition CY9Cs. Says the team will use two helicopters and a boat to transport the operators and all of the gear to the northeast island of St. Paul. There are 10 experienced de-expeditioner and contesters on the 2024 team. All bands from 160 to 6 meters are planned, and yada, yada, yada. This is a tent and generator de-expedition. So, you better work it, Shane. Usually, it's supposed to end September 5th, so I'd say from the 3rd to the 5th would be the best time when all of the QRM gets out of there. Take care, Shane. N4ZLK in 0TR73.
N4ZLK.